Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here today with Jonathan Davis, who is co-owner of Pearly Baker's Ale House with Greg Schuyler. Pearly Baker's has been a fixture in downtown Easton since 1994. John, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Sure, it's a pleasure. So one of the reasons we started the show was to really celebrate and keep track of the evolving food scene in the Valley. But I also think it's important to recognize the establishments that have staying power. And we're talking now in 2020, and Pearly Baker's has been around for over 25 years. So how does that happen?
Well, persistence. Yeah. A lot of hard work and, just being aware of customer desires and trying to meet those as best you can, be part of the community, give back, those type of things.
Well, I know I've been in several times over those 27 years, and architecturally, the building has been there for a long time, not just your business. I think the building dates back to the 1860s. So what sort of character does the design of the restaurant and the space and the fixtures bring to the experience?
I think it brings the historical perspective of the grandeur of Easton at the turn of the century, and really kind of dates back to that time when Easton, as well as majority of the Lehigh Valley, was in a real boom area, boom time. You could just see that the detail in the tin ceilings, and they're all pressed and they're pretty ornate. So it's just a grand building. It was originally actually built as a YMCA.
Oh.
The high ceilings and the skylights and those sort of things, which is fascinating to think about because the YMCAs are so much different today. You know, back then they were more of like, I guess, games and things, you know, smaller. But the way that it's ventilated actually is interesting because it's all, we have the transoms that open up in the front of the building and they kind of catch that prevailing northwesterly wind and then it kind of goes up into the skylight. So, for a lot of the summer, early summer, we get this like natural cooling process, which was by design.
Back in the days before we relied solely on HVAC equipment, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And how about the name Pearly Baker's? Where does that come from?
So that's interesting. We actually started it because we thought it had a nice historic kind of ring to it. I mean, when we were thinking about opening Pearly's, there was a big push, you know, historic Easton and whatnot, downtown especially. We came up with the name because, again, we had this kind of historic, thematic kind of sense of it. And then we kind of developed this whole kind of myth behind it where we found like this trunk, and it had, Diary of Pearly Baker in it and spoke of Easton and how grand it was. So we kind of fixated on it, used that as our name, and then it kind of built because Pearly Baker is mentioned in the Grateful Dead song, Wharf Rat. I love my Pearly Baker more than my wine. And so all of a sudden we started getting letters from like deadheads and saying, oh, we love your restaurant. We love the dead. And then interestingly, there was a historian / banker that was friendly with us. And he told us that back in the day before there was an actual currency in the United States, there was something called a Pearly Baker bit. It was a little bit that you would use at bars. So it kind of took on a whole bunch of different levels, and it stuck. It served us well. So I think a lot of people know it. I actually think that Pearly Baker's has become a little bit of an institution in downtown Easton. And a lot of that has to reflect on the name, I suppose.
Well, I'd say after 27 years, I think institution is the right word. So give us an idea of what the food is like there currently and maybe how that has evolved over the years, if it has evolved.
Well, specifically right now, during COVID times, it's really quite limited. We kind of just stuck to some of the things that we do well, which is throughout the years, it's been burgers have always been a staple. We have a long bar, big maple bar, marble bar top, and burgers and beers, because we had so many microbrews and craft brews over 25 plus years, the burgers were always part of it and sort of that pub fare. So during COVID right now, realizing that, especially early on, we were kind of like, hey, listen, we could be closed in the next week, just because of
right.
How this thing's all treading. So We have been kind of have a really kind of limited menu right now, although it seems to be growing, but we're nervous. I mean, part of the problem is that, you know, you're just not going to get the volumes. I mean, we're still, like most restaurants, running at about 30%, and to actually have all that inventory on hand doesn't serve our diners well, because at the end of the day, good food is fresh food, and a limited menu allows us to kind of have a greater velocity with our menu items, meaning that we're not sitting on product. So we keep it limited for various reasons, but staples, burgers, and, you know, some of the other favorites that we have. But over the years, I feel like it's always transformed a little bit. When we first opened, we were an ale house, and we still are, but it was really emphasized, and we had 26 taps on and a lot of beer in our menu ingredients, and we kind of played with that for a lot of years. And I think that's always been a theme in it. But, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago, we started doing more farm to table and mm-hmm. intertwining that as well. And I feel like we're always, creative. We have a traditional element to it, but we're always trying to put a creative spin on things to kind of keep it just fresh. So that a lot of that really falls upon the chef and the owners, myself and Greg, and it's sort of just all of us working together to kind of see what, you know, we're thinking would, you know, our customers would really delve into there.
Right. And John, you did, I'm glad you brought it up. You know, Ale House is part of the name. And, you know, certainly with the explosion of craft brewing over the last 27 years, it's given you a lot more options in terms of what you can serve. But what's your approach there at Pearly Bakers in terms of putting a beer menu together, given the extraordinary selection that's available? Are you looking at local, regional, national, or a mix of things?
We do a mix of things. You know, I think in some ways the craft brew industry has got a little bit oversupplied, and there is some brews that come out that we just don't feel always cut it. So I find a nice mix of having like your traditional, your classic breweries that have been there since day one, you know, your Stone Brewings out of California. You know, those brews are great.
Yep.
And they've always been great. And, you know, there's a lot of them like that, that we just kind of like always keep as a fixture, as well as some European imports. You know, we always have Guinness on and we always have Yingling on. And then we kind of actually will try out different brews and we'll see if they stick. We'll try them out ourselves, get customer feedback. Sometimes they, you know, they'll be in rotation for years. Other times it might be, you know, a month, one and done. You know, it didn't really hit that well. So, I mean, in one part, it's kind of, you know, fun and entertaining. The other part is, you know, you do have to kind of really work a little harder to kind of, you know, sift through it all, find out which ones are really quality brews.
And John, I don't think it's a stretch to say that Pearly Bakers was one of the first kind of nicer restaurants in Easton, which is a city now known just for a wide range of extraordinary and eclectic eateries. How have you kind of managed to stay fresh or evolve as the market, even within blocks of you, has changed dramatically over that time?
Yeah. So, you know, to give you some perspective, when we opened Pearly's, downtown was
right.
really quiet. I mean, keep in mind, Crayola Factory, that was all vacant storefront or building there. Next door to that, the Pomeroy's building, all vacant. The alleyway, that the Pine Street alleyway, where there's an ice cream parlor, and we, you know, also own the Bank Street Annex, that alleyway was called Needle Alley because it was all boarded up, constantly people doing drugs in there. It was a mess. I mean, literally right up until 4th Street just about was almost a full city block, completely abandoned and blighted. So when we got there, I think there was a lot of people that didn't really want to even go downtown. Matter of fact, I remember, you know, sometimes I'd, you know, be bartending or hosting, and I'd have my press shirt and a tie on, and I would actually go out my front door and walk to the corner and just make a presence so that people driving through would say, oh my God, there's somebody with a tie over there, you know, that looks like, you know, professional, somewhat professional, and what's going on? And then they see Pearly's and be like, oh, I think I heard about that place. But it was almost kind of like to give some life, even if it was just walking out there and saying, hey, there is people down here, we're alive, you know, and sort of, you know, try to build that presence, especially after 5 o'clock when some of these law offices and things would actually close down. I mean, 6 o'clock, 6:30 on a Saturday night, it was like a ghost town. So it kind of, you know, gradually kind of built word of mouth. We did a lot of mailings before there was, you know, social media and internet and email. And then gradually, you know, people bought into it and we just started evolving. And over the years, you know, so I will say this, that, you know, what's worked for us from the beginning is kind of what we've had to stick with. So in the beginning, we had to do whatever we could to get customers down. So it was a really broad appeal menu. I mean, we had everything from burgers, the chicken wings, the filet mignon, to grilled salmon, to whatever. So you had these higher end, you know, some of these chefs are Culinary Institute guys. They're really talented chefs, you know, putting out great entrees. And on the other hand, we're like, hey, listen, we need to have some good burgers. We need to have good wings. We need to have these other things because that's the broad appeal that we need to draw people in to mm-hmm. downtown. You know, what's happened over, you know, 25 years is these other restaurants have now come in place. I mean, mind you, we were really the first restaurant in downtown, you know, in the resurgence here.
Right.
So those other restaurants would come in and say, hey, we're going to focus on this part of the menu. We're going to focus just on entrees. And they basically, everyone just started taking a piece of, you know, a segment of the menu. And, you know, in some ways, you know, good, it's worked. I mean, it really hasn't hurt us. It's actually, you know, most of the time, it's actually brought more people downtown, and we've got this restaurant culture that's booming. Our best years have been more recently when we've had all these restaurants open compared to when we first opened. But so it's been segmented. We've still maintained that broad appeal, though. So, I mean, what's interesting, you walk into Pearly's, you might have a guy with, you know, tats right up into his shoulder, you know, having a burger or an entree for that matter. And then four seats down, you might have, you know, a bunch of lawyers or bankers with ties and jackets on. But that's the kind of eclectic sense that we've gotten. And it really stems back to those early days when we were saying, hey, listen, we have to have a broad appeal if we're going to stay alive here because we got to take whatever we can get.
I was going to say, I know we all in the Lehigh Valley and in Easton appreciate your fortitude and your determination for, you know, sticking through. It might have been a tough time to start, but, you know, here we are now, and glad to have you as part of the Lehigh Valley food scene. And thanks for joining us here on WDIY.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it very much.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.